Okay, so how am I feeling? You're probably wondering. Well, I had a full week. I don't know about you. I had class in the evenings this week, and I had different things going on, and it's like I didn't even have a proper moment to like properly worry about coming up here and speaking. You know, it's like, come on, I want that moment where I can just panic. But I didn't get that, unfortunately. But I feel like let's gather, let's kind of begin our time, yeah, with the word and now with some prayer. And in this time, let's work on stirring our affections up for God. So Lord, thank you so much for this time. We've had full weeks, busy weeks, and even the theme in our worship, in our singing this morning was, yeah, we want to be more aware of your presence. And there's so many different things happening and going on. And in this time, Lord, would you stir our hearts up with affection for you, for your word, and what you have to say to us this morning, God. Lord, I pray that I'd be able to articulate what you want me to articulate. I thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you so much for everyone in this room that we get to sit here, listen, and engage with what you're saying, Lord, because when you speak, there's light. Your word is action. And so, Lord, we pray that as we hear your word, that we would be changed in this moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, so we've been going. Now my timer starts, so that's preamble. Okay, so we've been going through this series called Life Together. And more specifically, we've been looking at doing life together as Jesus's apprentices. So I have a slide. We've said apprentices of Jesus, they're being together, learning together, eating together, giving together, and last week, praying together. And the tendency for us when we see a list like that is to just feel like, oh my goodness, that's just a big to-do list. Like, my week's full. I haven't even tried being together. You know, I haven't even tried learning together, eating together, and it just keeps piling up, and we start to feel like this is a burden. And this is why I really appreciated Tim coming here last week. He was talking about praying together, and he said, just one thing that I heard, he wasn't like, okay, I want you just to start praying. Like, do prayer. Just do it. Sit down and start praying. But he actually said, we are prayers. Like, that's us. As a people of God, we are prayers. And so I think what we need to do is we need to stop thinking of these things as a to-do list, but like a we are list. Like, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, these are things that we are, right? These practices are who we are. And this is a critique of the church, right? People come to church and they say, oh man, church, they just tell me what to do, what to not do. It's like, and it's like, yeah, you probably will hear that when you come to church, you know, but I want to make a key distinction here. So let's listen up for a second and then for the rest of the sermon as well. So what I want to say is that these practices are never separated from one's identity as a Jesus follower. These practices are never separated from one's identity as a Jesus follower. And so today I want to tell you, church, that being an apprentice of Jesus is about doing our doing resulting out of our identity. And our identity is shown and shaped by growing and going together. So tap your neighbor right now and say, apprentices of Jesus, grow and go together. Yeah, with gusto. That's right, because that's what we're talking about today. Okay, and so if we go back to that list, being together, learning together, right, we look at these practices. There's two things that I see in each of these practices that talk about who we are. So I think what we need to, the two words that I want to say is growing and going. So each of these practices, as our identity as a Christ follower, stems from our growing and our going. And so if you think about it, it's like, okay, being together, learning together, like if we're thinking about like life groups, apprenticeship groups, like things that our church does when we gather, we often like really emphasize that growing together part, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm learning about God, I'm learning about prayer, I'm learning how to be together, or I'm learning all this stuff, but we're also going, right? Like, if you're a part of a life group, it's not just about growing, it's about going. You can't flake out all the time, right? Like, we actually have to physically bring ourselves to do these things. So we need to understand that our identity as a Christ follower in these practices is about growing and going. And the other thing that we keep having on the end is together, right? We're doing this in community. And community is a buzzword, right? It resonates with us because as social beings, we want to have connection. We want to belong and be known. So what type of community do you want to be involved in? Because this is a key distinction, is it will end up looking like what you value, because humans organize into communities based upon their values. Okay? So developers know this. Like, people that build buildings, they know that humans organize themselves in by what they value. So I have this essence of community. This is in New West. I just loved this. At the point where the Fraser River parts lies a master plan, community, decades in the making. Like, when I read that, it's like, what do I value about that? It's like, I don't have to go in there and just like have to correct things and be like, there's no infrastructure here. You know, like I don't want to be dealing with like them building roads. Like, I want a community that has a master plan. I want people that put foresight into that, right? And then even that, this is a true neighborhood. I'm also like, what the heck does that mean? Where families, couples, and individuals grow amongst a diverse range of classic yet modern homes. I really love this description. But it's like true neighborhood. They're really trying to get at that, like, you're going to be in this massive area, but you're going to also kind of have this like small town feel. You're going to know people. And we're like, yeah, that's what I want. I want to be in a community like that. And then furthermore, it's like a rare waterfront setting. We really want to be like, I live at this important place, like geographical, I don't know that word, geography-wise, you know? So, but then I want to read another, like, when you read that, a lot of our values are like, yeah, I value a lot of those things, right? We value like concrete over wood, because we're like, it's going to be quieter. I really value that. And so I'm going to read a description in Acts, and we've been working through Acts, and so I'm going to read Acts 2, 42 to 47, but I'm going to read a paraphrase as you know, like I'm a developer, right? And I want you to ask yourself, do my values line up with this? So this is from Acts. Come join a community of people committed to the teaching of the apostles, to life together, common meals and prayers. Join a community that is in awe at the wondrous things that God has done through the apostles and is still doing to this day in the lives of all believers. Be a part of a wonderful harmony and of holding all things in common, a community that sells what they own and pools their resources so that each person has their needs met. Be a part of daily worship followed by meals at home, and each meal being a celebration of exuberant and joyful praise of God. Enjoy what you see and witness God save more and more people. Starting asking price. I'm joking. But that's like, when I read that, is it, do you kind of see some of your values in there, right? Are you like, oh man, I really value being together, learning together, praying together. And these are Christian community values. These practices that we have, these are things that we want to be, but we may not see those practices as valuable yet. Like, as we've been going through this series, like, are you seeing those things as things that you value? Maybe we're looking at it from a worldly perspective. And I think we do this all the time. Like, we can hear that description in Acts and think, I don't actually value sharing, right? Like, I actually want to gain more and more because I think happiness is one of the most important things, and the more wealth that I have, the more happiness I'm going to have. So why would I want to pool my money in to help others' needs that aren't met? How does that get me further? I don't see value in that. What is this community doing for me? Do you want to shift your perspective? We are always going to be going up against a worldly perspective that is looking at Christian community and observing that, you know what, they disagree all the time. You know what, I really value really good preaching, you know, so don't leave. Just kidding, right? But like, so I really value really good preaching, so I'm going to go to a different church. I really value really good worship, so I'm going to, you know, try and find something that lines up there. And we start kind of looking at a worldly perspective at the Christian community that we're involved in, and we're not looking at one another as followers of Jesus and people that are supposed to value these practices, that are prayers, that value learning together and growing together, but also going together. Do you want to shift your perspective? We are always going to be going up against an idealized worldly perspective of Christian community as well. And I tend to slip into that. So German theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this to people like me. There's a quote, I'm going to read it from this page. Every human wish dream that is injected into the Christian community is a hindrance to genuine community and must be banished if genuine community is to survive. He who loves his dream of community more than the Christian community itself becomes a destroyer of the latter, even though his personal intentions may be ever so honest and earnest and sacrificial. I'm guilty of that, idealizing Christian community and then skewing it entirely. See, we can take all our worldly perspective and values and ideals and apply them to Christian community, and when we do, we usually end up with cynicism and criticism. And we'll seek something else that will appeal to what we value. And it usually ends up not looking like Christian community at all. Do you want to shift your perspective? We organize ourselves in communities with similar practices that reflect our values. Do you right now look at Christian community and think, this doesn't line up with my values? Do you want to shift your perspective? When Paul wrote the second letter to the Corinthians, he was addressing this type of perspective issue amongst the church in Corinth. And Corinth was this boom town. It had lots of wealth, materialism, and pride. And there were teachers that were instructing the Corinthians from a worldly perspective that was skewing the message of the gospel. See, the Corinthians valued wealth as the key to status. They valued self-display of one's accomplishments and possessions in order to win praise from others. They valued self-sufficiency and pride in one's neighborhood as a reflection of one's social location. Does that sound familiar? So then they looked at Paul's teaching, right? Or they were like, you know what? We kind of are going to take it a different direction because we're not really seeing value in what you're teaching, Paul. So what they said is they said Jesus endured suffering so that they could escape suffering because to them life was about health and wealth. Paul's gospel message seemed too weak, unimpressive. So they just kind of adapted it to their own values, their own practices, and went forward. So it's really important how these practices shape who we are and what we value, what we take to community, how we view it. But Paul, he's addressing these Corinthians, and he's like, yo, you guys need to really change your perspective. And because of what Paul was teaching, people were really doubting him because they were like, we don't really value what you value, Paul. We don't value your message because our lives look different. And Paul, he understood. He himself went through a perspective shift. So if we look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So a little thing about Paul, he used to be called Saul, and he persecuted the church. He had this worldly perspective of Jesus and saw him only as a disturber, and he saw Jesus as a blasphemer, someone that claimed to have divine origin, and he saw him as cursed because in his Jewish beliefs, it was cursed was anyone who hung on a tree, and Jesus was crucified on a cross. And so Paul, he saw this growing movement as dangerous, as something that was attacking his values. And so he set out to stop the Christian movement. That is until Jesus stopped Paul in a vision on his way to Damascus. We see that in Acts chapter 9. And it was there that Paul had his perspective changed. His perspective shifted. It was there on that road where Paul met Jesus and then began a new life in Christ. It was there that he began growing as a new creation. So how does this perspective shift begin? How do our values and how we start seeing Christian practices, how does this start to like, how does that shift start to take place? First, we have to be stopped by Jesus because we're carrying a worldly perspective. And so that's exactly what happened to Paul. He was stopped. He started growing as a new creation. And then in verse 17, therefore, right? Therefore, I have this new perspective, Paul is saying. And so therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Right? Being stopped by Jesus means that when we start to become like him, we start to do these practices, we shift our perspective and we start growing as a new creation. Like the old is gone, the new is here. A new perspective is available to you. See, there's no amount of our own achieving or amassing of wealth that will allow us to escape suffering. Right? We can try as much and as hard as we want to escape brokenness in our world. We can turn off the news, surround ourselves with pillows, eat, exercise, but yet there's an element of brokenness that is with us and present in our world. We can ignore it, but eventually our bliss evaporates and we'll face suffering. Right now in our own country, we're trying to live that story out. We're trying to live that story of the Corinthians where we take the teachings of Jesus and we think that it's a way for us to escape suffering. But the gospel is not that Jesus suffered so that we can escape suffering. It is that Jesus suffered, died on a cross, rose again so that we may live. Not so that we'll escape the world, but be reconciled to God. There's a new perspective available to us, to you. Suffering then is a part of our lives. As much as we try to live in a way that escapes it, as much as we try to adapt the teachings of Jesus in a way that just serves our own purposes of health and serves our own purposes of wealth. But we can change our perspective when we're stopped by the gospel, when we're stopped by Jesus on our own roads and our own journeys. Because that old creation that you are is gone. There's a new one here in Christ and it's available to you. Do you want to shift your perspective? No one is born a Christian. We all have to shift our perspective at some point. And some of us, we were born in Christian families and we've thought, I've never had to shift my perspective. I've just grown up in a Christian home and I've viewed things right and I've lived right. It's like, at some point, you have to make the choice to follow Christ, right? We are all new creations when we start following Christ. The old is gone, the new is here. We all have different stories about coming to Jesus. And so all of us that accept that gospel message and go forward, we're new creations. The old is gone, the new perspective is available to you. Do you want it? We must grow as these new creations together. And then, that's only the first half of our identity. The second half, let's read here in verse 18. I'm going to read all the way to 21. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him, being Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So there's two halves of this identity of being in Christ. There's this growing as a new creation, and there's this ambassador. There's this going aspect. And where are we going? What are we going to do? We're going as God's reconciliation. So we're growing and we're going. That's how we start to shift our perspective, because it takes both of those things. You know, one of the biggest, I think, complaints against Christianity, One of the biggest complaints against Christianity is hypocrisy. They say one thing, they do another. Have you heard that? That's tragic, isn't it? And I think it's because we are so focused on one half of our identity. We're so focused on growing as new creations and accepting that and being like, man, God has changed my life. There's something else to live for. My perspective is growing and changing, but your practices haven't changed. You're not going as God's reconciliation. And so then when people look at us as a Christian community, they see hypocrisy, because we're only living at one side of our identity. And so if our identity, if we think of a coin, right, it has two sides. The one side is growing as God's new creation. The other side is going as God's reconciliation. And I think that the difficulty in this is we can talk about both things separately. But in reality, they happen at the same time. And that's I think that's one of our greatest difficulties. And I was just like, I was blown away when this hit me when we went to Romania. So then it was in June. It was like, oh my goodness, like it just hit me. I've spent so much time in my life growing, and I've forgotten so much that God loves other people, that he's given us a mission and a ministry of reconciliation that we need to be going. And it's like, man, I want to start living out like my full identity as Christ, not just growing as a new creation, but going as God's reconciliation. And it's easy for us too to like think of Paul and think, oh man, Paul, he was a guy that wrote letters to the church. He sat down and he did a lot of thinking, and he gave us this theology that helps us grow. And we forget that he was one of the best missionary that the church has ever seen. He was going constantly. He wasn't just growing, he was also going. He was telling people there's a new perspective to live your life by. They could live for Christ or choose their worldly perspective. And I think we come complacent with just growing, and we forget all about this going aspect. We forget that these practices that we have, being together, learning together, praying together, like those practices aren't just tied to growing as a new creation, but they're tied to going as God's reconciliation. As God's doing something in our lives, let's tell people about it, right? Like let's tell someone, like, God has changed my perspective, that actually I've been trying to just live for health and wealth my whole life, but then all of a sudden I realized that no matter what I did, I always just ended up empty at the end of it. Like and then I think what we need to do is we need to be able to articulate what Jesus has done from that. And in my own life, if someone were to ask me, like, Spencer, like, why aren't you, let's say, doing drugs or drinking, that type of thing? It's like, because in my own life, I've realized every time I've pursued something that I've wanted or something that I've thought was better than what God wanted, I've just been blown away at how empty I feel at the end. Is that your experience? And it's like, every time I've gone to God, I've gone to his word, I've gone to his spirit, it's like I've been so filled to overflowing that I can't explain it. It's like, I need to tell people that, right? I can't just grow in that knowledge and hold on to it and be like, I love this. I have to go as God's reconciliation and be like, God also loves you and he wants you to experience that. So, God, like, help us, right? Like, help us to be able to do that. It's so nice for us just to sit and grow, to think about you. And we forget that you love people, that your ministry of reconciliation is through us. Lord, I forget that. I'm so content just to sit. Help me to go more. And I love to grow and learn more about God, but Lord, I want to go more. I want to go more and tell people more about who you are. I want my community to be changed. I want my own perspective to be changed as I enter into community, that it's not just about growing, it's about going with one another. And one thing that I've experienced in my life is that we need to, like, we think of evangelizing people that don't go to church or don't follow Jesus, but we need to evangelize each other. You know, like there are people in this room right now that need to know that God loves them. Right? And so what I'm not just saying, don't hear me as saying, like, we need to just, like, go out and preach on street corners and do all this stuff. I'm like, no, you need to be intentional with your rhythms right now. Like, we need to go right now to those that are around us in our circles already and be like, God loves you. There's a ministry that you've been given. There's an identity that you've been given. And it's that you're growing as a new creation. And you're going as God's reconciliation. Let's take that together and bring that to people and bring that to how we understand ourselves. Because we're not what we do. We are who we are in Christ. In him we place our identity, a new identity. And it's not based on wealth. It's not based where we're situated. It's based on what he's done for us and how much he loves us. So thank you, God, for making us into a new people and having a good message. Like, we have a good message for people. Thank you, Lord, for loving our world. Man, God loves our world so much. God, help us to love the world the way that you love it. Help us to see the world the way that you see it. Help us to go to our families, to these rhythms, to our places at work, and tell people that we're new. There's a new perspective available. Thank you for your love for us, for your grace for us. Help us to extend that grace to ourselves in times where you convict us as well. And extend that to others. So let's say someone asked you how to plant a church in a country like Iran or something. What would you do? What would be one of the first things that you do? Well, I would start researching, right? I'd start researching the area, who's in that area, where could I get a job, what type of people are in this area, and then I would start be thinking, okay, where are the churches in this area, where could I kind of start plugging myself in, right? And then when we go somewhere like that, we actually are intentional. We're like, okay, I'm going to be starting this thing in a new country, so I'm going to meet my neighbors. I'm going to invite them to church. And we start to develop these rhythms of going, right? And the whole time we're going to be growing as we do those things, right? And so we're going to be trying to set up these practices with people. We're going to be trying to pray together. We're going to try and learn together. And so this whole time that we would be trying to plant a church in another country, we're growing and we're going. And I think for us, it's not that we need to know something new. I think we just need to do what we know in these rhythms. We don't need to know something new. We just need to do what we know. God, help us in that. Man, I feel that in my own life. You know, like, I get opportunities all the time to talk about Jesus. And it's like, what would I rather do? I'd rather sit on the bus and put my headphones in, right? It's like, here, I have an opportunity to talk to someone. How is their day? I have the opportunity to expand like the ministry of God's reconciliation instead of just holding on to it, instead of just saying, I'm growing as a new creation and I'm so excited about that. Because I'm tired of living two-faced in this way. I'm tired of just having my identity as one-sided. But it's two-sided. We're growing as God's new creation, and we're going as God's reconciliation. Imagine if we started doing that, what in our lives would change? What if we stopped asking the culture around us to be missionaries, to join us, and we started joining them? What would that change? What if we took these practices we've been talking about and we started extending that to those in the community around us? Like learning together, sometimes I think we think that's just a Bible term that we're going to sit around the Bible. But it's actually like, man, if I went into, I talked to my neighbor about God, it's like I would learn so much by going and doing that. And I think we need this as we look at Christian community. Because we feel like, man, it's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. And it's like, God, you like we need to actually shape our values by these Christian practices, right? But we need to first understand and kind of zoom out and understand our identity as Christ followers is that we're new creations and we're going as God's reconciliation. And so then when we hear all these, like we gotta be working on that, it's like it's less of that burden because it just becomes a part of our life rhythms. It becomes more so of who we are and represents more of that growing and that going aspect of our identity. Imagine if all of us started stepping into that whole identity of growers and goers. I think that would be beautiful. Imagine the way that we would grow, right? If we would go. And imagine the way that we would go if we would grow, right? Like I think even as I'm talking, it's like it's so easy for us to start separating them again, right? But they're the same thing. And so when Jesus, he called his disciples, the worship team, you guys want to come up? When Jesus, and just play something moody under me. No, so I'm joking, don't do that. But it would be welcomed. So imagine if we started doing that. In my life, I've spent 3 years, you know, going to Bible college and growing. And in those years, I met Jesus, and it was so awesome, but it also had put me back quite a ways because I wasn't going at all. And it's taken me a really long time in my life to start actually living what I know. And so I think that's what we need to start doing. We need to start going at the same time as we're growing. Otherwise, we become lopsided Christians. We become two-sided and two-faced. And I think it's going to be beautiful as we do this together. Each time we step into our identity as growers and goers, we allow God's reconciliational work to shine through our lives. Our perspective begins to shift. The way we view community and our involvement in community shifts. We move from this high idealized view of community to actually just being a part of it and understanding those that are in it as new creations or people that don't know God yet. And it's like, okay, now let's go. Let's take that mission of reconciliation. Let's take that love to people. Jesus' disciples, when he called them, he didn't just say, let's grow. You know, let's sit at my feet and I'm going to lecture you for 3 years and then you're going to go. He said, come, follow me. Let's do this at the same time. I'm going to be showing you things. You're going to be growing and you're going to be going. He sent them out. And the whole time they were in community. And can you imagine just the way their perspective shifted, the way they understood community as they were growing and going, as they were doing these practices? Man. I want to be a part of that. I want to step into that. Let's step into that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, Jesus, I've lived a life imitating Jesus. I've lived a life that I've tried to follow his example. And Paul says, so follow my example. Let's go. Let's follow the example of people that have lived lives of growing and going. Like let's take this message of reconciliation to people, to our friends, to our family, to those that are here in this room we need to be taking that message to. Let's shift our perspective as we do this, as new creations in Christ. I'm excited to go on this journey together with you, and it's tough, but that's why we have each other, right? That's why we have each other.